What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Global Citizen Podcast, live to you from Nairobi, Kenya. Today we have a special episode. Jabari, my co-host, is taking us into the final examination of one of his classes at the Language Center. His students that represent Latin America, the Middle East, Asia, and Africa talk on issues stemming from gender and friendship. Listen in as we break things down based off of the opinion of everyone from their respective countries. It's a real positive conversation, and I think we need a little positivity with everything going on in this world today. Like us on Facebook, MI83. Check us out, MI83network.com. Check me out on Twitter, at JOWAY25, JOWAY25. And Jabari, at Jabari Inspires on Twitter and Instagram. Peace.
All right. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
We are here at the Language Center on the last day of term 2, 2016. We've been together for the past 12 weeks, at least most of us have. And it's definitely been a pleasure. I've seen you guys grow, seen you guys really exercise your command of not only the English language, but your command of your ability to communicate confidently, which has been great to see. I see you guys as not only my students, but my mentees and my brothers. And on that note, I really want us to have a conversation that allows us to touch on various aspects of brotherhood, global brotherhood. I'd like to start with friendships. We're all representing different countries and different communities, culture, space. We have Burundi represented. You should say hi.
Hi.
Say your name.
I'm Cheriman Dinambona.
Okay.
Yes, from Burundi.
My name is Luis Fernando. I am from Venezuela.
My name is Amr Khalid, and I am from Yemen.
Jose Jesus Nieto from Mexico.
I'm Fergie Mubamba from Burundi.
Yes, we have a special guest, Fergie. She's joining us as well. And another special guest.
I am Wandiro Sopo from Congo.
Congo. So we have the global community represented. Of course, I'm Jabari Smith from New Orleans, Louisiana, USA. And
I'm Joel Malbranch from New York City, USA, by way of Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Yeah, so the global community is represented. I'd just like to jump into it immediately. What has been the best aspect of building relationships with people from so many different cultures and communities? Why has this experience at the Language Center been unique for you, anyone?
I think this experience has been great for all of us. Mm-hmm. Since we are from different countries and from different backgrounds, let's say the first person I would like to speak about is Luis. We are from Latin America. We both speak Spanish. But even there is always something new to learn about people, Latin American people, but from Venezuela or any other country. And then there is something big when you meet people from other continents, like Amr from Asia, particularly from
the Middle East.
Yemen, yeah. Middle East. And yeah, it's wow. For me, I think he is the first Muslim person and Yemeni person that I know. So it has been really a great experience.
Great. Come to New York, you'll see a lot more Yemeni.
and so on that note, how does it make you feel? Because I've heard this mentioned in previous conversations, even Luis wrote about going to your house and it being the first time he'd ever been in an Arab household. So how does it feel to know that you have introduced people to a culture and a world and a community that they had not previously been exposed to?
For me, it's a really good experience to know them. Even it's my first time to know like people from Latin America, or actually even from out the Middle East, even Europe or Africa. was my first time, and I really like it.
Good, good. That was, so it's great that you say that you really like it. Did anyone have any misperceptions about any of the cultures represented here, whether it be America, where Joel and I represent, whether it be, you know, other parts of Africa, Mexico? Luis, did you have any misperceptions about any of the cultures represented here that your experience here has now changed? And please feel free to be honest. It's a safe space.
No, I don't feel like afraid of another culture.
Mm-hmm.
I just was like a little scared when Amaran invited us, Joseph and me, to his house. I was like feeling a little pressure because it was the first time visiting a Muslim house. But I talked with Joseph in the car and he said like, relax, just don't do something stupid. And you know, his mom is really nice. Really nice cooker, and his brother, his cousins, was really amazing the time we spent in his house. And the mom always offered us some food, some drinks, always pay attention to us, taking care of us. That was really nice.
That's great that you guys can be honest about that, that you could say I was nervous coming to your home. That's great. That's a strong tie to have when it comes to friendship, honesty.
Yeah. Maybe it's not like afraid of Muslim people because I am not like that kind of person. I am very free about that. But maybe like knowing the family, maybe the family is not like him because he's very friendly with us. I was like feeling pressure about that. But all of them are really nice.
Good.
Interesting. Now on the topic of, you know, the fact that we're all, majority of us, men from different cultures, What is an aspect of, like, what does masculinity mean in your culture? What does it mean to be a man in your culture, specifically Theory, being from Burundi? And being the African, you know, representative in this group, like, you know, we're all in Africa. We're all in Kenya. So what does it mean to be a man in the African context?
To talk about masculinity, I think we first have to understand what is gender in my country. Gender is a social construction of the roles of women and the men in the society. So for me, I understand masculinity like how men are defined in society. They are all in the society. So in Burundi, I think like in many African countries, to be a man means to hold some responsibilities in the family, in the society. In Africa and all over the world, they say, or people tend to say, that there are some things that are done by, should be done by men, but not by women. All some roles that must be done by women, like cooking. In Africa, it's not common to see a man in the kitchen. This is a woman's thing, as people say. But I can say, I have to say, that it is not in our cultures or in our African countries. So to be a man in Burundi, it's not different from being a man in Rwanda or DRC, I hope. It's to assume some responsibilities, to be the head of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this I can say, this is the definition, to be the head of the family.
Jose, is in Mexico, is that the same? Is it the same for in Mexican culture?
In some ways it's like that. I've had the opportunity to visit different places of Mexico. I'm from the northern part, the state is called Zacatecas. But I've been in the south, and most of people from my place, they have never been in the southern part of Mexico. So the culture is totally different. And yeah, being man in my own area is just the strongest figure in the family. And sometimes, yeah, it has some challenges for the family because men must drink, must be strong, must punish women.
Must punish women?
Yes.
in some cases. Yeah, especially when they get drunk, things happen like that. Yeah, and different problems and challenges. But I think nowadays there is a new culture growing where men can express feelings, ideas, even to cry or to express ideas in a different way. In a different way, I grew up in a family where this is possible, and I can see other families that they do in a very different way. But yeah, in Mexico, I think I cannot say generally, but every region is different in culture. In culture.
Traveling, coming to another country, experiencing another culture. Before you guys left your homes, was there apprehension to do so? Were your family members nervous for you to leave your home? And if they were, was it because they didn't know what Kenya was about, or they just didn't want you to leave home? Like, for example, my family, my mother, she was very nervous, but I think it's because she just didn't know much about Kenya. You know, the only thing she knew is what the news would show. The U.S. news, and the U.S. news shows what? Al-Shabaab, elections. They don't show the language center. They don't show Nyama Choma. Yeah. They don't show...
King Ellis.
Yeah. So if you guys could speak on that a little bit.
For me, I left my country because of the situation in Yemen. Because now there's war in Yemen. So I didn't have another choice. So, like... they have to use it that I'll leave. But like now, my parents also, because I went to study university, I was planning to go to the Ukraine. But they refused because they are afraid. They're scared. Like in Ukraine, there is also war in a city near Russia. So they were like, also I'm diabetic. So that alone there, something might happen to you. So like be with us is better. And I'm the last born.
Firstborn standard. Exactly. And so you also came here with your family.
Yeah.
Yes.
I came here with my family.
And Louis, so did you. And I know right now you are trying to decide whether or not you'll leave your family and go elsewhere. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about, you know, you've already stepped beyond your comfort zone so many times, from Venezuela to Panama, now Kenya.
True global citizen.
Yeah, a true global citizen. So what do you feel about taking that next leap of faith beyond, like, your family's love and care and arepas, you know?
I don't know, for me it was, like, not easy to leave my country for the first time because I left too many people, my family, and too many friends. But it's like always with the time, the people, like, starting to forget you, and you, like, handle with that. I returned to my country when I was almost finished the secondary school. But for the situation in Venezuela and the president there, they said, like, I need to repeat the some levels again for finish the secondary school. So I studied there 2 more years, and my dad at that time came to Kenya for a new job. He's a pilot. So he was here alone for almost 3 years. We came here to visit him in 2004, and my mom and I were, like, a little afraid, like, it's Africa, like, maybe it's hot, maybe the people is dying, like you see in the television. But we saw on the internet, we tried to get some information, and we saw, like, it's cold, and we were like, what?
Yeah.
It's not possible. So we packaged, like, maybe only 3 sweaters, and at that time when we came, the temperature was, like, 10 degrees, 5
Celsius,
degrees.
Celsius, yeah.
Yeah. They were really cold. You feel, like... some hurt in your bones. I never, like, been in a place too long like that to call. And I was studying English now for almost 2 years. And now I want to study for a pilot also, like my dad. But yeah, I'm not sure like where I will go to study. Mm-hmm. I really can study here in Kenya, mm-hmm. but I don't know, it's like a challenge for me, like mm-hmm. go to another country alone without my family is not like not easy for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done it before, we're doing it now.
Definitely.
It's always a challenge, but you're talking to the dream catcher right here. If you have a dream, you know, you have to take a leap sometimes. And, you know, now, today with technology, you know, you can WhatsApp, you can podcast. You know, every morning I'm on a WhatsApp group with my mom and my sister, and I'm sending them videos of me mm-hmm. getting ready to go to work.
All the snaps.
All the snaps.
A theory, did you have any misperceptions about Kenya prior to coming? I mean, you've also traveled a lot.
Yeah, because also I knew before I came that Kenya shares a lot of similarities as Burundi.
Mm-hmm.
Many countries in Africa, they I cannot say they look alike or they behave the same. In Burundi, I knew there were a lot of political problems, social issues, and the same thing in Kenya and Uganda. So I don't think I had any misrepresentation of Kenya. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What would you say the biggest difference between the people in Burundi and the people in Kenya is?
I think I can say people here in Kenya are very cold.
Cold?
Yeah. In Burundi, when I was still in the high school or at the university, every morning I would salute every student mm-hmm. in my class. Mm-hmm. People are very warm. They greet each other. Mm-hmm. When they are traveling, they shout. They are very warm,
mm-hmm.
and they receive you very warmly.
Mm-hmm.
But here, everyone is rushing to his job. Everybody is busy doing their own businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So I think these are the big differences.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's interesting. Joe, what do you think about that? Because I think we often talk about how we perceive Kenya. And even yesterday I was in a meeting and somebody said, oh, there's like no national pride in Kenya. It was a Kenyan saying that there's no national pride in Kenya. And he was like, oh, you know, you see the way Americans are always waving their flags. And I was thinking, well, we were just saying the other day how there's a lot of nationalism in Kenya. I mean, how many people wear like the Kenyan bands? I mean, you know, even, you know, non-Kenyans, you know, kind of feel like a sense of pride in wearing that as well. So I think it's interesting because I think Kenyans are very warm.
In Kenya, it comes out differently.
Mm-hmm.
In other places, you know, there's a lot of flag waving and rallying behind the country during sporting events. But I think Kenya here, I've seen it more when it's been coming to the situation surrounding refugees
mm-hmm.
and how they feel about them. I think me personally, that's how I see it. But I do think that other countries might be more loud about their pride to their country. I know, you know, Venezuela for sure. Mexico also. El Tri.
great.
But, you know, I've only been here for 4 months. So my opinion is based off of a 4 month experience.
Mm-hmm. Fergie, I'd like you to jump in. We have a special guest. This was initially intended to be a men-only conversation, but I think we should take advantage of having you here. What do you think about the role, the modern-day role of women in Africa?
Mm-hmm.
And beyond Africa, the world, I mean, What is your perception of how gender plays a role in your ability to be successful as a woman in African society, or let's say even global society? Mm-hmm.
Okay. The,
as the only woman in the room, no pressure.
Yes. the modern women are becoming more aware of their rights, their abilities. The abilities to do things, they know that they can, they take a step forward to do something, to be able to achieve it, and they don't pull back, as our mothers. So it's a It's a matter of generation, I think, and of the all of the networks, WhatsApp, Instagram, and the news also, to see that it's not only in Africa that women are trying to step up for their rights, but it's a worldwide thing. Yeah, so we have so much to do, and we have also a long way ahead. But I think in a few years, women will be, yeah, will be as much as successful as men. Yeah.
On that note, and then I'm gonna get the guys' perspectives. What is your idea of? Do you think that men in Africa, you're from Burundi as well. Do you think the men there like promote positive masculinity or negative masculinity? And let me break that down. Positive masculinity, meaning that there's not this idea that, you know, to be a man means to put women in a second class position. So negative masculinity is when a woman is raped and the first question that people ask is, oh, well, what did she do? You know, or what was she wearing?
Yeah.
Or, you know, she must have wanted it or deserved it. And we see that not only in developing countries, but in also in more developed countries as well. So, I mean, where do you think the men in your country fall? Along what lines do they fall?
I think it's both.
Mm-hmm.
In the society, the masculinity will tend to be negative. So, for the rape, for example, we will have some that kind of questions, and the women will be accused for searching it. But I think in families, in each families, there is a positive masculinity, because the father will encourage their daughters to be successful and to do things, and yeah, I think, and also the fathers will not be as negative towards his wife. So there is a big difference. So inside of the family, we will have some positive masculinity, but in society, we will have a negative masculinity just to keep up that image of the masculinity. And yeah.
I want to put a scenario on the table, a real life conversation. I think I mentioned it to you guys before. So one of my students this past term, who was only here for half of the term, we were talking about, I forget what the topic was, but he went on to say that he thinks that Muslims have the right idea in terms of keeping women, you know, separate from men. We were reading something in the New Headways intermediate book, and it was about three different types of women, and one of the profiles was of a woman in India. And, you know, in her profile, it went on to say that women in India, particularly of this religion, serve men first. Like, men must be served first. And I believe maybe that's the same in Arab culture. Maybe.
It's the opposite.
It's the opposite.
Women must serve first.
Women must be served first.
Yeah.
As in, women eat first.
No,
so women serve men first.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what it was. The women were serving the men first, and he said, and he's a Christian guy, actually from Rwanda, and he said, he's like, oh, I think the Muslims have the right idea. You know, that is the way it should be. And also, you know, women and men should be separate. And I said, really, that's an interesting perspective. I'm really surprised that you have that perspective. And he said, yeah. He said, you know, because, you know, as a man, you know how we are as men, you know. And, it was like, yeah, you know, if I'm married, then I shouldn't be around other women because I'm a man. I may not be able to control myself. I may not be able to, you know, control my instinct. I was thinking, I was like, wow, are we that animalistic as men? Are we that, like, hedonistic, you know, instinctive that we can't control ourselves, you know? And do we then need to be in a society where men and women are separate because of that male instinct? I disagreed with it, and I told him that the reason I disagreed with it was because that promotes negative masculinity. When you say that a man can't be around a woman platonically, when a man can only be around a woman if he wants to basically take her to bed. And what do you guys think about that? Like, what's your opinion on, Amar, I want to start with you. I mean, what do you think about that? Like, why is that you know, in your faith?
Nah, first, I totally disagree with this, because a woman, she's like a man and everything. So, and she will be like with him for his life as a husband and wife. So he should respect her and she should respect him. And like I'll explain. Like a woman, like in my culture, like in Yemen or in the Middle East, like my country, Saudi Arabia and Oman, they still like holding the culture. They seem like they are not open. Like in Saudi Arabia, the woman can't drive at all. In my country, like 6 years ago, it was similar. And if you find like a woman, she's driving, like she's one or two, you will see. But nowadays in Yemen, they are quite open. You will find like a lot of women they are driving the last 3 years, and also a man. So like now they are like the man and the woman, they are almost the same. She can work even. Even Saudi Arabia nowadays, the women start working, but like 6 years ago they can't.
So let me ask you this: as a man who I'm sure wants to get married, wants to have a family in the future, do you feel that it's in your best interest to not be around other women who are not your wife or your female relatives, or you can have? Do you feel that it will be possible for you to have women who are just your friends?
Yeah, yeah. Also here in the school we have a friend. So like for me it's okay. Yeah, like I don't care.
I would love to hear from the Latin American contingency.
Especially Luis.
Yeah.
Because we learned in the United States there's a very large Latin American population, specifically in New York. I would say East Coast.
Southwest,
West. There are a lot of Mexicans on the West Coast. And, you know, they always talk about, they've talked about, growing up, I've heard a lot about machismo. You know, being from Haiti, our neighbors, or the Dominicans, you know, I've had cousins that have gone to school in the Dominican Republic, and they all talk about machismo. What do you guys have to say about that? Is it different in Mexico than it is in Venezuela? Or is it kind of generally the same thing?
I don't know if it's the same as Mexico, but like in Venezuela, the man straight, like they drink a lot of beer. So maybe sometimes when they put drunk, just like they try to argue with the woman, or maybe the girlfriend or wife. But something that I know, because for me, I also do it, that Latin boys, we are really jealous. Maybe she's just talking with a friend of her, but we feel like a little jealous. Also, we are like, so,
just a bit.
We are like so kind. We are always trying to make the woman feel happy. Maybe every month I used to my friends some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a teddy bear, something for make the woman feel happy and appreciate her. But nowadays, maybe with the situation in Venezuela now that it's not good, most of the people feel like angry with each other. They are just fighting with each other, so it's like not good now. But before was like, for me, I wrote in a family with my dad and my mom. They are like best friends. My mom and my dad used to have a lot of friends. They go out every maybe weekend, Saturday, and they enjoy together. And they know, like, they know each other. It's nothing like put behind them. Maybe for my dad is an amazing person. I never saw him like machismo in the house. He was always, maybe when he feel pressure about the job, is just like shouting a little bit, maybe to me, only for me, not to my mom or my sister. Maybe always helping in the house, maybe cooking also, washing the dishes with the clothes, trying to help my help me and my sister with the homework sometimes if he's not busy. So it's maybe depends of the family and where you grow up.
Mm.
Also is very important.
So in Mexico, as I said before, things are changing. But I think there is still a long journey to be done. I think among cultures, I come to realize that there is always this tendency, specifically for men, to control, to say this is right, this is not right. Like in some culture, someone was telling me that some parts of the meat, specifically the best ones, mm-hmm. are just for men, mm-hmm. and the rubbish is for women.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, in many cultures, I think there is always this tendency to control,
mm-hmm.
specifically from men. And as well in Mexico, it happens. But I remember once I was doing an experience in the south of Mexico, at a place called Oaxaca,
mm-hmm.
very traditional place. You find different cultures, native cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in a place like this. And, yeah, all the people there, they have their own language. And I remember I was just trying to go into the culture, to know people. And yeah, they were friendly, very happy people. But at the same time, this machismo, this tendency from men to control. And as Luis said, they were getting drunk openly. And I remember one couple. For me, it was like the strangest couple in the village, because they were always talking to each other, kissing each other in front of all people. It was like the different couple in the village,
mm-hmm.
and they were criticized.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to say is that I cannot generalize that things are going in the same way. Of course, there are families and couples and men doing in a different way. And at the same time, let's say, opening way for things to be changed. And this is good. I think Mexico has a very multicultural, it's a multicultural place.
Yes.
So
it's very large.
Yeah,
place.
Yeah, very large place.
Yeah.
So if you go to the native cultures, there is one thing. If you go to the mestizo,
mm-hmm.
all the descendants from the mix from Spanish, Afros and native people,
mm-hmm.
there is different culture. With the Africa descendants,
mm-hmm.
it's different.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there is a challenge to change things.
Interesting.
What about you, USA?
in terms of, what's your question?
This is in USA, they have machismo?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely... And I think that's what fuels my desire to understand like what you all's cultures are like in terms of how men dominate society, or how masculinity... specifically, I would say, with Hillary Clinton now being the Democratic Party nominee and potentially being on the verge of becoming our first female president... I've seen, sexism and negative masculinity has reared its head in a way that maybe I was more oblivious to before, but now that it's like it's on a national, even international spotlight platform, you know, there are so many people who, granted, Hillary Clinton may not be the best person. I mean, I know we've discussed, she's not like the most lovable person. She's not Obama. Like, people don't love her like that, but... She's very qualified, and I mean, credentials-wise, if you put her up against any of the other candidates, she blows them out of the water, but at the same time, people are very hesitant to give her credit because she's a woman. The largest group of people that she's having the hardest challenge with, you know, getting support from are white men in America.
And I think that that speaks a lot to this negative masculinity. A lot of people believe that a woman can never take on that role. A woman is too sensitive, is too emotional, and that it's a man's job. There are people who really have this idea that being the president of the U.S. is a man's job. And honestly, I want her to win just so that they can basically be proven wrong. And I think her presidency would definitely push the progressive agenda forward. And I'm definitely all about the progressive liberal agenda. Whether or not I like her or agree with her, I mean, that's a totally different topic. But what her presidency would represent, it would mean like younger girls and would have the opportunity to see someone that looked like them in that role, much like Obama represented for someone like myself as an African-American. But yeah, man, it's so much negative masculinity. I mean, I see it on my Instagram feeds all the time, my Facebook feeds. It's like, you know, a woman posts a picture and it's like, can I just go there? It's like, oh, bitch, slut, you know? And it's so messed up because a guy could post a picture talking about the exact same things and it's a more positive, you know, twist of like commentary. And I just wonder, like, why are we as a society so quick to demean women for being expressive? But a man can talk about all his, like, sexual conquests as much as he wants, and he's, like, the man, you
know? He's, like, the king.
Yeah, he's the king. He's the king. A woman can have, you know, two or three public relationships, and she's a whore. She's, like, no, she's not a wife material. A man can have 15, 20, and when he decides to settle down, hey, you know, he'll still be that well-respected man. So, I think American society definitely promotes that. I mean, even in our advertisements, there's a lot of objectification of women. And I think we often objectify women without even realizing that we're doing so. But when a woman is, like, you know, sexually expressive in her own way, then it's like, oh, she's actually slutty.
Mm-hmm. I want to jump in quickly, then I want to hear from the Burundian ambassador over here.
Yeah.
I actually want to say something positive, at least in the United States. You know, we see a lot more women getting more powerful positions in society, whether it's, you know, being the actual breadwinner for a family where they make the most money. We see them as our principals. We see them as our supervisors. There is definitely a push on the up and up, but it does get, you know, negated sometimes by some of the horrible stories that you hear. So, like, on a relationship level, you know, you have women who are, you know, getting their second and third degrees.
Sure.
You know, there are more of them at the intellectual table. Like you said before, there still needs to be work. Like in Mexico, there still needs to be work in the United States as well. And I think machismo, or however you want to call it in any other society, exists globally.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I think that people talk about it in other contexts. I believe in conspiracy theories. I do believe it's a point to make sure that Western society is always deemed as the best, as the promised land. And in some ways it is, I guess, in terms of opportunity. It is, quote unquote, easier, but the negative things that exist in other cultures also exist in good old US of A and in Mother Europe.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say. But Thierry, you've been quiet. I think you've been observing and soaking it all in. So, I mean, I guess coming from your perspective of an African man, but a Burundian man first, what are your thoughts on, I guess, women progressing in society? What have you experienced as do's and don'ts? Following up on what Jabari said, why is it, do you think that a woman will get a negative reaction to something she posts for people to see, and a man can do something and, you know, he'll get lauded rather than criticized?
Everyone in the world, men are men. Men are men, they like to think they are superior, everyone in the world. And But I think things are changing according to the policies, some policies that are implemented in some African countries. I stayed in Rwanda. I lived in Rwanda for 20 years in Rwanda. So, and then now, I mean, since maybe 2000, I think, the Rwanda government has implemented some heavy policies to promote women. So now I think the Rwanda is the first country to have more women than men in the parliament. No, also in the schools, I saw it when I was at the National University of Rwanda. So women were the majority in almost all faculties. It's not only in Rwanda, also I saw it also in Belgium when I was there. Women are now the majority. So to me, if women are the majority at university, they will be the majority in the profession, in the business. So I think things are changing. When it comes to Burundi, I don't think the Burundian culture promotes the male machismo. I don't think so, because some men are machist, are sexist. But for instance, because I am close to Burundian literature, I have read, I can say, all novels written by Burundians. No Burundian writer promotes sexism. No Burundian, even in the media. I like to listen to France, to watch television in France. So those guys are very, maybe I am exaggerating. There are a lot of sexism in France, but it is not the case in Burundi. In media, they don't promote sexism. Sometimes in some radios, there are some jokes, bad jokes about women, but it's not the case in the whole media. And I'm happy because things are changing. When I was in Burundi, I was teaching in high school, one of the best schools in Burundi, in Bujumbura. The majority of our students were women, and they were the first. They came the first in their classes. And I was a media trainer in Bujumbura. Most of my students were women. So I think things are changing. The problem is that the government is not doing a lot to promote women. But I think in 10, 20 years, things will have dramatically changed.
That's interesting that you say that, you know, I think, I don't know if this is true in every country, but you do see more women in university classrooms. You do see more women oftentimes excelling academically, which is interesting. And I think even in Kenya, they always talk about the boy child. It's like, oh, there's all this like promotion on uplifting girls. And I do a lot of mentorship work with young men. So they're like, oh, the work you do is really needed, because boys now, because there's all this, like, there's this push toward empowering women, aren't empowered as much as they should be. And I find that when I work with young men, it's like the boys are often more shy, more quiet. They don't speak as much. And I often have to call out the guys, like, hey, guys, like, speak up. Like, so that's really interesting. We talk about, you know, men being dominant in society, but in academic settings, you often see guys being really shy and less open. Like, why do you think that is? I mean, and I just want to say, I think that the way we raise our boys, we kind of put a lot of focus on being aggressive in one aspect of life, chasing women, you know, making money. But when it comes to kind of being outspoken and outgoing, there can be, you know, it's like, as a boy who grew up being very outgoing, it was always like, oh, that's kind of different.
You outgoing?
No. Yeah. Yeah, they were like, oh, that's kind of different. Like, you know, like, an outgoing boy is something different. Yeah. And I don't know, what do you, is this the same thing in your countries? Do you find that girls are more expressive or in school?
I would like to add a comment on what you were saying. I think women has led the society and cultures for ages.
Yeah.
But let's say, in my understanding, there is a problem because men have felt fear to recognize the role of women in the society, in cultures, in the religion. I'm a Christian Catholic, and in so many areas of the organization as a religion, women has led many things. But there is no a place on the table where decisions are taken for women. And I can say this guy, Francis, Pope Francis, I like the way he's doing, promoting women to be on the places where decisions are taken. They have been always there, just putting into practice all the decisions, building up all great projects and building societies, but I think there is a fear. Men fear women in some way to be, overtaken, to be put away, or not to be the center of the...
Do you think men fear being led by women?
In some way, yeah.
I would love to hear Fergie. Do you think that's the case that... from whatever perspective you could say it from, do you think that men fear being led by women? Because I've been in some situations, I won't name the country, but where out in the open, men have said, we fear that, if women have this, they will take over. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I think it's true.
Yeah.
Men fear that women can take over and take this decisions and do better than men in some cases. So because of the education at home, especially, men tend to be very... They want all the attention on them, and they think that they are the only one. The only ones to do better, and women can't do it. So I think it's true. Yeah.
I'm interested, Louis.
Do you fear being led by women? Be honest.
Yes.
The language center? Yeah, maybe.
At the language center?
Yeah.
Yes. Why?
Because there are too many intelligent women here, that maybe they just take attention of every class. The exam is 90%. Maybe my exams are like 18.
18?
Yeah, and the years are almost 100. I feel like, wow. Work hard, but if you see the woman, it's like it's easy for her. They just study normally. Maybe I push myself more, and she get 100, and I get maybe just 17.
17 or 70?
17.
Keep it ambiguous.
Yeah. I was talking also with my best friend. He's in Venezuela, and he was telling me that in his class there are like maybe 20 boys and around 14 girls in his classroom, and he need to change like four classroom for like 12 hours, and in each classroom the women are more than men. So he was telling me that this year and the last year was like the first time like women are more in the universities and in the schools than men. And when I was studying in Venezuela, it was like we were like maybe 20 boys and 12 women. But now, if you see maybe the newspapers in Venezuela, my God, maybe 15 women, 30 boys.
I think we can handle that. I think it's good. If that is the case, I think it's a good shift.
Definitely.
I will say this, though. I think women are... intelligence aside, I won't say who's smarter, who's not, but I do think that women are, the majority of women are more organized than men. That's my opinion. I think that, and maybe it's because in their nature they've been raised to be able to manage many things, whether it's their personal affairs, the affairs of others in terms of, you know, family, and even those of us who have sisters. It's almost like, even though as your parents grow older, you're going to be there to take care of them, it's just kind of like, I guess, something that they've been raised to do, maybe. It's just instinctive. They know how to handle just many more things at once. Not that men are bad at it. I just think that women might be better.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, interesting.
My opinion.
I'd like to get you guys, like, final thoughts, or maybe just hear from you. What is the legacy that you want to leave as a man in this world, as a representative of your country, as a global citizen? What is the legacy that you hope to leave on the world in hopes of making it a more fair, you know, equal, balanced world? Dear, starting with you.
I'd like to promote tolerance. I don't like violence because I've been experiencing violence in many times. I would like to promote tolerance, even when I'm writing, this is the guiding line in my writings: tolerance between men and women. I know there is differences between the men and the women, scientifically speaking, but as we are saying, men and the women should be equal. They are not equal in our culture, but should be equal. I would like us to promote tolerance between faiths, different faiths, also different cultures, because I cannot live alone, and I will never understand you. But if I'm tolerant, I will accept your differences, and together we build a wonderful world. Yes, tolerance.
Thank you for that.
For me, I think love is the most important thing in this world. You need not just the woman, also your family and your friends. Love them a lot. Trust them with a lot of, enthusiasm every day. Try to do your best every day with the person you love. And maybe if you are in a relationship, just do your best. Try to get the woman feel happy every moment, every day. That is the best thing.
Me too. Also, as Luis said, that you should let the woman do whatever she wants. Not that much, but you should let her do things that she loves. Don't think that woman, she's... Don't think that just... When you hear just woman... That woman, she's like... She's not important in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You should pay attention for her.
Mm-hmm.
You should, like, respect her,
mm-hmm.
and love her as a sister, as a wife, as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's all.
Okay, for me, the first point is that I would like to encourage people to allow themselves to know people from different places, especially those ones we consider that they are crazy. I don't want to know them. I don't want to get close to them. Yeah, to allow ourselves to know people different to us. And secondly, to do things, particularly, but thinking that it affects the global. World, because it's not myself alone. What I do, it has consequences in other places, or my actions can contribute to others. I would like Mexicans to know how Kenyans live, how Kenyans do, and not just thinking that I will send some money for poor people in Africa. No. Know people, let them to teach you, and you teach them to do a sharing.
Thank you.
Berkey?
Yeah. Personally, I would say to be open-minded, because the world is changing now, so... The world is changing now, so you can't be a part of that. To be to be ready to hear some truth, and realize that you are not alone on the earth, and if you can go out of your country, discover some new things, we will see that there is no big difference between countries. So you can be in Asia, in Australia, you can recognize yourself or your education, what do you had, and see that it's not only in your country that there are problems or some things like wars and negative things. Yeah, and sometimes your truth is not always the truth. So yeah, you have to be open-minded and let new things in your life. Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Well, I think this conversation achieved a lot of what we wanted it to achieve, really to discuss these issues of cross-cultural friendships, interfaith connections. Ramadan Mubarak. Eid Mubarak.
Thank you.
Eid Mubarak. To all the Muslim brothers and sisters globally, and also really for us as men, with the special guest Fergie representing the women's perspective, to really have a conversation about our role in society and how we may not even be aware of our perpetuation of machismo, so to speak, and how we as intelligent men can promote a more positive world, not only for ourselves but our sisters, you know, the women across the globe as well. So thank you guys,
and I want to thank you guys for being brave enough to talk about these issues with us, and all of your opinions. If it's what you truly believe, I believe that this world's headed in a really good direction.
Thank you. Yeah. Ooh, global citizen.
Hey, yo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian. Name is Fife Dog from the Zulu Nation. Told you in the jam that we can get down. Now let's knock the boots like the group.
Check me out on Twitter at JOWAY25 Joe. Also on Instagram, find me. My handle is Global Citizen Podcast. Don't forget about my co-host at Jabari Inspires. That is his Twitter handle as well as his Instagram handle. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Peace.